Blog Talk Radio.
Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever can.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mount. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted. But that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
Hello, and how is everybody doing this evening? I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room. And it is definitely football season for some of you high school kids. It's almost the middle of your season, and there's a lot on your plate. You know, there's a lot on your plate, not only on the field, but definitely off the field as well. One of the major topics that I run into and our team runs into with Before You Go Pro during this time of year is questions about the depth chart. A lot of you young football players believe that you deserve more time. A lot of you guys are right. But for whatever reason, maybe you're second string, maybe you're third string, maybe you're just playing special teams, and you're wondering what your next step should be. You're wondering why you are in the position that you're in, and how you can find your way up the depth chart. So we thought that this would be an amazing topic to have on tonight's show. We always want to educate. We always want to bring about topics and guests that can feed into your career as we speak. So tonight is no different. We've assembled a panel of gentlemen that have taken their time to feed into you guys, all you players and parents out there. And they really want to help you guys get a foot up, get a leg up on your team's depth chart. These are all guys that played at a very high level. As a matter of fact, all of them played big-time college ball, and all of them played professionally in the NFL and other leagues. So these are guys who have found their way to get to the top of the depth chart so that they can move their career forward. And they want to help you guys with the same thing tonight. We have Mr. Derek Gardner. This is somebody that is a friend of mine, played up at Cal Berkeley, had a great career there, ended up getting an undrafted opportunity with the Atlanta Falcons and actually played as a rookie for them after coming off of the practice squad. So he had to fight for his opportunity there. We have Mr. Rashidi Barnes, another dear friend of mine I played with at the University of Colorado. Great career at Colorado. Went on to be a seventh-round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, and then also played for the Cowboys and in NFL Europe. And last but not least, Mr. Victor Rogers, somebody that was a roommate of mine in college, had an amazing career at the University of Colorado, an All-American-type career, and then went off to be a seventh-round draft pick of the Detroit Lions. So we appreciate all these guys' time, and we don't have them for long. So we want to soak in the education and then apply as we see needed. So I want to get started with the guys on the line. And a matter of fact, I'll get started with you, Rashidi. For those that don't know you, can you tell everybody where you're originally from?
Berkeley, California.
Berkeley, California. So obviously California is a bell cow state for football. What made you choose the University of Colorado?
I chose the University of Colorado for a multitude of reasons. One being that I wanted to be still close, semi-close to home. So in the event that I need to get back to the Bay Area for any kind of emergency situation, I was only a couple of hours flight away, and vice versa. If my mom needed to get to Colorado, then she had that ability to. The other reason why I went to Colorado, it was a big-time program. As you can see, you know, they just beat Oregon recently, should have beat Michigan a couple of weeks ago. And so you can see how that program is getting back to the point or where it was when we were there back in the late 90s.
And obviously you just mentioned that it was a stellar program when you decided to go to CU. Obviously there was a lot of talent when you got there. When in your career, whether it was high school, college, pro, did you feel like it was the first time you really had to compete for a position?
Well, you know, I competed ever when the first day I stepped on the football field. My family has a long history of playing basketball, so I was really the first one to transition into football. So as at a young age, playing Pop Warner, Berkeley Cougars, I was a tall, skinny kid. They put me on the offensive and defensive line. So just because of my basketball background, I was quick, I had a good lateral movement, and I guess I was fairly smart to be able to pick that up. So I competed since day one because I went into football never playing at age 8, and once I started playing, kind of took the reins and ran with it from there.
Great feedback right there. And I want to go to you, Derek Gardner, because – you actually happen to coach right now. You're a junior college coach, defensive backs coach at Laney College. From a coaching perspective, what do coaches look for in position battles?
Well, in position battles, Terrence, we look for, first thing, one of the characteristics I look for in guys is buy-in. And that's pretty much saying, has the kid bought into the theme, to the morale, to the culture of the team? So if you get the buy-in, then we're looking at technique. You know, is he technical sound? Does he understand the concepts that we've been teaching? Is he sharp? Does he give me maximum effort? Is he tough? Is he disciplined? So it's a tier of things, but the number one thing is buy-in. So if you're not the number one guy, you still have to be a buy-in guy at the end of the day.
I like that, buy-in. And as far as for yourself, you were a big-time player coming out of high school, California. You stayed home. You went to Cal Berkeley. When was the first time that you felt like you really had to compete and work hard to win a position?
Well, the first time at a high level would be, I would say, my sophomore year in college. You know, my freshman year, I kind of just played special team. I understood my role and I accepted my role. And going into my sophomore year is where I kind of expected to be on the field often and a lot. And that happened in the beginning, and I had a junior corner in front of me and a senior corner that I was splitting time with. And at the end of the day, it was three of us, and as we all know, there's only two cornerbacks on the field at one time. We weren't running any nickel packages per se at that time. And so I competed, but at that time, I changed positions. So I volunteered to start playing safety because I wanted to compete to be on the field. I understood the politics, so to say, and we'll probably talk about that, the junior ahead of me and the senior was ahead of me, and they were probably going to get a little more playing time at that position. So I competed with myself in a cerebral way to pick up a different position that I never played before, similar to Rashid, picking up a different sport. I picked up safety to compete, and I actually started the last 8 games at the safety position as a sophomore.
Wow, great point there. So you were willing to do whatever it took to get on the field, and that's a great illustration for all you young players listening. Victor, I want to go to you because you were extremely highly recruited coming out of college, and I'm sure high school, and I'm sure there were a lot of colleges that were promising you things. Did you think that you would step on the field right away at the University of Colorado?
I think for me coming out, you know, being as highly recruited as I was, I think I kind of felt like I had the opportunity to play as soon as I got there. But, I mean, for me, I knew I had to kind of compete and that it was a whole nother level, my first snap in college football, because for me it was the first time being as big as I was. It was really the first time that I had somebody physically who could kind of match me pound for pound or who was stronger than me or whatnot. So, I mean, for the first play that we had, and I had a dude bull rush me, and for the first time in my football career, I couldn't stop the dude, and I was just getting put on skates. For me, it was kind of more of a self-check, like, okay, I'm on a whole nother level now, and if I'm going to compete at this level, I need to step my game up.
Great point right there. And as far as being a young player, why do you think it's so hard for so many young players, whether it's in college or in the pros, to get their first shot?
I'd say, honestly, just because you haven't earned the trust of anybody. You haven't earned the trust of your coaches. You haven't earned the trust of your teammates. You know, and I think that's a big thing. When you're coming in as a college, you don't have a resume, good or bad. I mean, you have your physical school skill set, what they recruited you on. But once you get there, it's a blank slate. So they don't know how smart you are. They don't know if you got by on just raw athletic ability. They don't know if you're a team guy. They don't know if you're a selfish guy. They don't know if you're trustworthy. So when you're coming into a new position or a new environment, whether it be college, whether it be pro, you're on a blank space. You're on a blank slate, and you have to build your resume all over again.
Great point right there. And hopefully a lot of you young players are listening. Just because you are great in Little League, now you're in high school, it doesn't mean anything's going to be given to you. Just because you were great in high school, five-star recruit, doesn't mean anything is going to be given to you at that university. Rashidi, let's go back to you. You know, some of the young players that we work with, they'll tell me, they'll say, Coach, you know, I'm not playing like I should, but I'm not necessarily a practice player. I'm more of a game player. What would you say to those type of players?
You know, practice is a dress rehearsal for the game. And you have to be able to show your coaches that you're properly prepared for the game at all times. You know, in reality, when we're playing sports, it's a microcosm of life, in reality, to me. You know, Billy Donovan said, anything you want to do in life, you're going to have to practice for it every day. So no matter what, once you get out of team sports, once you get out into reality, you're going to have to practice at whatever it is that you want to do so that you can be great. So you think that you're not a practice player, but you're going to have to be a practice player, and you're going to have to practice hard, because it's going to have to happen. You're going to have to do the same thing and take those same traits and practices to the next level so that you can be successful. If that's just on the field, on the court, or just in the boardroom.
Great feedback right there. And as far as confidence, how big is confidence for these young players as far as being able to step up as a second-string player?
Confidence is everything, but I think that your confidence comes from your preparation. You know, if you're properly prepared, then you're going to go out there on the field, on the court, on the diamond, whatever, and you're going to perform at a high level. You're not going to think twice about your actions. You're not going to think twice about the moves. You're not going to think twice about the plays. You're going to play freely. And so that in itself exudes confidence. And then ultimately, like Victor talked about, you'll gain that trust from your coaches, from your teammates. And so they'll always believe in you, and you'll believe in yourself.
Great point right there, and hopefully you young guys are picking up on what these guys are saying. Once again, these are guys who have played at the highest level. They've played in front of thousands of people that have paid good money to get into the stadium, and they have been on the field making plays. So really, really take advantage of this information. Derek, let's go back to you. As far as being a coach, and maybe you're working with a freshman or a young guy, when can you tell that it's time to get somebody on the field?
Well, you're looking at all the things that they said. So you're looking at their mental skills. One, like I said in the beginning, their ability to not only retain the information but to regurgitate it and then put it in the kinetic form and in their movement and their action. But it kind of is a shift, and I'm dealing with it right now with guys very similar, guys who think they should be playing but they're not getting as much playing time. So the guys who are putting in the extra work, when they're coming in saying, hey, coach, can we watch film? Hey, coach, can we stay out for practice and put that extra footwork in? what does this term mean? Why am I using this technique? Where is my safety? When they start inquiring questions, when I'm not the initiator and they're starting to initiate football conversation, that intrigues me as a coach, as far as there's a paradigm shift in the way they're starting to think, and there's a hunger and a passion that's starting to come out in them. So those things, I think, go a long way with the coach. You know, we give a hard hat award for those who put in hard work, put in the extra work, and those guys are on the ballot every day, the ones who stay after, come early, ask questions.
I love it. I love it. And that's why we're having this show, you guys, because it's still early in the season. And I know some of you guys think you should be on the field. So activate, like Coach said, be the initiator so that you can get on the field when it counts, when the season's on the line and people need to make big plays. So that was some great feedback right there, Coach Gardner. Hey, talk to me a little bit about maybe a personal time, whether you were not the guy and you weren't ready and you got in the game, or a time maybe that you didn't know if you were going to play and you got in the game and you were ready. Can you recall any time like that?
I do. You spoke to Rasheed playing at NFL Europe. I played over there as well. And there was a program then where we were allocated from our NFL team if they felt like you needed a little more work. So I go over the first year, I play, I'm a starter, lead the team interceptions, we win the World Bowl. I come back unattached the next year, and I'm a dime. So I'm the fourth corner, and it was a struggle for me. You know, I had to have mental strategy, the self-talk, and persevere through that season. But the one thing I did do, I was able to be consistent. I was consistent in practice. I was consistent in my dime package. I was consistent on special teams. And with the time and opportunity presented itself for me to perform at a high level later on in the season, I was still engaged. So you have to find the mental fortitude to stay engaged, stack good practices, stack good game performances, whether it is a dime or sub-package role, and as well as special teams. So I was definitely in that position, and I can attest to the mental strength that it takes to stay in.
Amazing advice right there. That was big time, you guys, and I know some of you guys picked up on it. Let's go back to you, Vic. Talk to me a little bit about maybe competing against a friend. Maybe you're a wide receiver. You got a roommate that's a wide receiver. You got a close guy that you came in with in your class. He's a wide receiver. Do you think you can compete against somebody and still be friends with them?
I think you can, but I think, you know, if you guys are true competitors, you got to be able to separate friendship from business. And that's kind of hard, especially when you're at that young age. Fortunately, I wasn't ever in a position where I really had to compete against a good friend. So for me, it was just always kind of business. But I think the biggest thing that you got to do as a competitor is you got to know the landscape of what you're doing. And you got to know the strengths and weaknesses of the dude who you're competing against. If you know a dude is just a flat-out better athlete than you, you got to be realistic about that. And you got to approach and say, you know what, okay, I'm not as good as an athlete as this dude. But this is what I do have. I'm smarter than him. I don't make mental mistakes. You know what I mean? I'm more technically sound than this dude. Because a lot of times when a guy's just a flat-out better athlete, they rely on their athleticism a lot to get them out of things that – you know, technique would normally take care of. So you kind of got to know the landscape. You got to know what your coaches are expecting, and you kind of got to know you and your strengths and weaknesses. And you got to be honest about them strengths and weaknesses. You know, if you're an offensive lineman or whatever, and you ain't got the best feet on the planet, you got to be honest with that and say, okay, I don't got the best feet on the planet, but I'm as strong as an ox. You know what I mean? So every time I get into it with somebody, I got to make it a street fight. I'm not going to win in a game of basketball where I'm sliding my feet and stuff like that. I got to make it a physical contest. Same thing if you're a DB. You know, it's like, I ain't got the best makeup speed, so I can't be giving this dude, you know what I'm saying, any kind of leverage or anything like that where I'm going to make it up in the air. I got to be tight in my technique. I got to be this and that. But a lot of competition is, like I said, knowing your own strengths and weaknesses and what you can bring to the table.
I love it. I love it. What Vic is talking about, you guys, is being a pro athlete. And pros know where they're strong and where they're weak and where their advantages are. So that's some great feedback right there. We have roughly 10 more minutes in the BYGP locker room. We're having a fabulous discussion tonight about how to climb up your team's depth chart, something that should apply to all of you young football players right now, because even if you're the number one guy, there will be a time where you have to take somebody's job. So this is some great feedback from guys who have done it. Let's go to you, Rashidi. Talk to me a little bit about how somebody like Tom Brady, who is considered by many to be the greatest quarterback of all time, how does somebody that's considered to be the greatest quarterback of all time fall into politics or fall into being in a lower spot on the depth chart at the University of Michigan? How does something like that happen? And maybe we lost Rashidi right there. So I'll pose the question to you, Coach Derek Gardner. How does somebody like Tom Brady end up being second on the depth chart at Michigan?
It's a maturity level. You know, some guys mature a little slower than others. You know, like Vic said, whether it's mentally or physically. There's a growing process from high school to college and from college to the pros. So, you know, whether the game was a little faster than Tom expected, whether it was a lack of coaching that he had in high school, whatever the variables may be, when he got there, the reality was he was a backup guy, right? So as a backup guy, you just got to hang in there until an opportunity presents itself for you to go on and get in there and show what you can do. So, you know, everybody was the man at one point in time in high school, and I think someone attested to it earlier. Maybe he didn't earn the coach's trust. Maybe he didn't have the team's trust. He just didn't put in enough time yet. And as you see, in due time, he did show what he can do, you know, at his time at Michigan. So I think it could be a combination, whether it's maturity, whether it's mental strength, physical strength, or the trust attributes from the coaches and or players.
Great point right there, and maybe that fed into the chip on his shoulder that he still plays with today. I think we have Rashidi back on, and I'll go to you, Rashidi, with this next question. Do you think it's easier for players to take somebody's position in the off season, or do you think during the season still a ripe time to take somebody's position and move up the depth chart? Okay, we may have a malfunction right there with that line, but we'll throw it at you, Vic. Do you think it's easier in the off season, or do you think it's easier in season to take somebody's job?
I'm here. I think can you hear me now? It's Rashidi.
Okay, I can hear you now, Rashidi. Go ahead.
So
go ahead.
To answer your question, I'm sorry about that. I think it depends. In high school, you have an opportunity to take one position during the season and during the off season. But if you compare it to the college level, you might just have someone that's just better than you. You might just have someone like Derek was talking about that's a senior, that's maybe a junior, and he has put in his time and his effort, and he not only deserves that spot, but he's actually pretty good at what he does. And so as a backup, and we've all been there, you guys got to come in, you just have to do your time, you need to learn, you need to be a great player, you know, on practice, you need to suck it up, you need to be ready for when your number is called. And most importantly, you got to support your team. Whatever your teammates need from you at that point in time, you got to be it. If that means being on scout team, running around and emulating a running back from the opposite team, the upcoming team, you got to do that. Be the best running back that you can, because what's that going to do? It's going to make your team better. And ultimately, if you're a team player, then it doesn't matter what you're doing on the field. It matters how what you're doing to help prepare the remaining teammates. So when they play on Saturday, when they play on Friday, that they go out there and make it happen.
Wow, man, that's great feedback right there. And as always, you bring such great knowledge and advice to the show. So Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Rashidi.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is Mr. Rashidi Barnes. Once again, dear friend of mine, teammate, University of Colorado, 7th round draft pick for the Cleveland Browns, also played for the Cowboys in NFL Europe. Great free safety, and he put it all on the table for you guys. You know, you have to stay engaged. You got to be ready for the call. Vic, we'll go back to you. Give me three things that you would like to tell a young man listening tonight that he needs to keep in mind as a backup player.
I know it sounds cliche, but the biggest thing is always be prepared, and that's mentally and physically. You know what I mean? You know what it. You know what you need to do to be the starter. You just haven't had your opportunity. So always be prepared mentally and physically. Don't allow yourself to be in that position where an injury happens in practice and you don't know what the next play is supposed to be called. Or even worse, an injury happened in practice or somebody getting some trouble off the field or something happened unfortunate and now your number's called on. And because you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're out there partying and drinking and doing everything else and not being prepared physically to contribute to your team. I think the second thing is Rashidi pointed on, and this is probably the hardest thing. You got to kind of check your ego at the door when you're not the number one guy and do whatever is willing to take the team needs for you to be, you know, for you to help. If that means being the best scout team offensive lineman there is, so be it. Best defensive lineman, so be it. Doing whatever you need to do. And then the third thing, and probably the most importantly, get the job when your opportunity does come. That's just the beginning of it. Now it's about consistency, building on getting the job, and letting the coaches and teammates know that they can have faith in you, that you're going to be reliable mentally and physically. You're going to push through injuries. You're going to watch film. You're going to do everything that you need to do to be successful. Because I know firsthand, I started as a redshirt freshman. I let my head get the best of me, and all I know, after 3 games, I ended up getting benched because mentally – I started getting a big head. I wasn't playing the way that I was supposed to, and somebody else swooped me. That lit a fire back under my butt to, by the 5th game, I was back in the starting position. But just because you get that starting position doesn't mean you've achieved it. It means that you're there now, and somebody else is now waiting to dethrone you. So you kind of always got to keep that hunger in the back of your head, keep it at the forefront and work, and, you know, always compete, even if you're a starter like you were the backup, because the person behind you is competing like they're ready to take your job.
Great point. And you went from that 5th game to starting the rest of your career, you know, from your freshman year. So you're a true illustration of somebody that was able to be consistent enough to stay at the top of the depth chart. Hey, thank you so much for the time, man. Tell your beautiful family I said hello. And thanks for coming on the show tonight.
No problem, brother. Anytime you need me, man.
All right, so that is Victor Rogers. Once again, this is somebody that was a high school All-American, never had to worry about playing time in high school, but once he got to college, you guys, he had to fight. And there's going to be a time in your career where you're going to have to fight for your position, and these guys are giving you great tips on how to do that. Last but not least, we will end the show with Mr. Derek Gardner. Talk to me a little bit, DG, about – how I should approach a coach. If I want some more playing time, I'm working hard at practice, maybe I feel like the coach hasn't seen me, should I approach the coach or should I just stay back? Is that kissing the coach's butt if I go talk to him?
It's definitely not. It's almost like the academia approach. Until you exhaust every opportunity, every ability to have a conversation about what you feel and where you stand, then you haven't given it your all. So whether it's office hours or, you know, like I said, before practice, after practice, try to catch them one-on-one. You know, don't catch them in front of other coaches. Don't catch them in front of other players. Just simply ask them, hey, coach, what's a good time where we can sit down and have a conversation? And during this conversation, this is very, very important because I have this all the time with our players. It has to be all about you. You cannot, I call it the 3 C's. Do not compare, do not compete, and do not complain about others. If you're going in there talking, if I'm talking to a coach, I'm going in talking about Derek Gardner. I'm not worried about Jack, John, or Joe. I'm worried about me. So you're not comparing your technique. You're not comparing your playing time. You're in there to talk about yourself when you have that conversation. So approach them ask for a one-on-one time, and don't compare, don't compete, and don't complain when during that conversation about others.
Wow, I love that right there. That was worth the whole show right there. Don't compare, don't compete, don't complain. You have to make sure that you're keeping it about you. I love that right there because we have some players that are in this position and they're wondering how they should approach their coach. So that's big right there. The last question I want to leave you with, Coach Gardner, is once I get that final, that spot, you know, so maybe it's one of your kids at Laney. He's been looking for more playing time. Now he's doing good in the nickel and dime. And then he gets that base defense. He gets a shot on that first team base defense. What advice would you give to a player once they finally do get their shot?
Dominating practice. We talked about practice. You had a question. I'm not a practice player. Once you get that shot, you have to dominate in practice. And another thing you have to do that Vic talked about, you got to make the room better, meaning you're encouraging. So once you become the guy, you're a teacher. You know, you lift as you climb. So you climbed up, you made it, and you got to reach back and pull that next guy up. So make the room better and dominate in practice.
Ooh, I love it, man. Make the room better. We could do a whole blog and a newsletter off of Make the Room Better. So, hey, thank you so much. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for coming on the show.
All right, T. Thank you, man.
All right, so there it is. Derek Gardner closing out the show. That is somebody that played at a very high level, University of Cal Berkeley, was a starter up there, played for the Falcons, also in NFL Europe. So once again, you guys, these are guys that had to fight on the depth chart, fight in practice just to make a living, just to hold on to that scholarship. You know, these are guys that have lived it, exactly what you guys are going through. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. Some of the things that I took away is be realistic from Victor Rogers. You know where you're strong and where you need to get better. You listen to what Coach Gardner said about the three C's, compare, compete, complain. And then, you know, as far as Rashidi Barnes, he said consistency. Consistency is key. So hopefully this helps you guys that have talent, but you're looking for a way to get more time on the field. Don't think because you're not playing, you don't have talent. Once again, the guy who's going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, at one point in time, he was on the bench. So don't think that you don't have talent. Be confident, work your tail off, and do what it takes to get on the field. Coach Gardner said something that was key. He said, if you haven't gone to talk to the coach, you haven't given it your all. So keep that in mind. So once again, I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we are signing off for Before You Go Pro and the rest of the BYGP team. You guys have a wonderful evening. We will see you at the top.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can't get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer than I ever did. Closer, closer, closer than I ever did. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
My whole life's been a chase, it's a gift and a curse. Was on my way up to the top and slipped into reverse.
same thing I thought killed me brought out the real me. That's real, see. You gotta find what you love and let it kill you. Just gotta live with the will like Uncle Phil do. Cause on the real, everybody go through times when the sun don't shine. Don't know when our time will come, but it will come in time. Cause yo, I said it first, ain't no telling where I'm headed. So this is for the people that was with me when I said it. And when I said it, I meant it, I swear I won't forget it. Told my family and my friends that I'm forever indebted to friends.
Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Try to remind yourself it's gonna be fine, and you're hoping that it's true. You start losing your mind when you're gone all the time, and you're always on the move. And you try to remind yourself it's gonna be fine, and you're hoping that it's true. But I know we're getting closer, closer, closer than I've ever been.